445, the show where we talk about Android apps, Android phone, Android hardware, cord cutting, and a whole lot of other stuff here lately. I am your host, Mark, sometimes known as the Sultan of the Soapbox Cockerel, and joining me are the people you're really here to see, Eric, the Executive Ardini, and Steve, the Door-to-Door Geek. McLaughlin, I forgot your last name for a second.
I wondered if you did that.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing wonderfully, thank you.
Hey, so when you said 445 is our episode number tonight, that means we're five away from the big 450. That's got to be, is that a monumental episode number or not?
I don't know. We made a big deal about 400. What's the rule about how many times, when do you make a big deal about it?
I would say every half century is pretty cool. 50 is good, right?
Well, if you go by Gibsonian math, it's every calendar year is important.
Yeah.
If you go by a lot of other shows, it's seasons, which really could be anything from 1 to 100 shows. If you go by Mr. Cooper, it's every 100 mark is important. If you go by me, this show, every show is important.
There you go.
I like seasons, so we're going to say that maybe next show will be our fall show.
So my Geek Ranch show has been on for 5 years now, five and a half. And we're at 250 episodes. You started this show after that, and you're at 450. I suspect there was some cheating going on there.
No.
Well, no. That's because Steve C, for how long was it, Eric?
We did
like
three
6 months?
Shows a week.
Yeah, maybe
6 months.
Well, and I have no problem telling people why. Because PodTrack, our podcast counter system, said if you get more than 20,000 views a month, I think it was, we will come to you and offer you to do advertisements. So he said, well, then fine. If I do three episodes a week, three times 4 weeks, so we should easily hit 20,000. And we did that, and they never offered us any advertisement. And then I said, there's no way I'm editing one show down to three shows and posting. No, we're just doing one show.
Yeah, see, that was the thing. It wasn't really three shows. It was one show released over 3 days.
Yeah, it was one session.
There's a lot of content.
Abnormally cut into three episodes. Yeah,
as a listener, I didn't like that.
I'll say this. It turned what we were planning on being an hour to an hour, 15-minute session into sometimes a 2.5-hour session.
Yeah, because you had to re-intro every time and re-outro every time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Steve wasn't really good at making us shut up.
Well, let me, that seems like my cue to make you shut up. No, we actually want to start something. But so I'll start with a question I always do. Any cool hardware stories to tell this week or anything like that?
No, I can't think of one.
I'll say mildly yes, but it's really not. Maru OS, which is the OS I honestly think I brought to this show at least once. Mm-hmm. It has been officially open sourced. So if you would like to take your Nexus 5 device, not Nexus 5X device, if you would like to take your Nexus 5 device, install a custom Android environment on it that when you plug up an HTML cable to a larger monitor, you see a genuine Debian instance running XFCE. Well, then your dreams have came true, because with Maru OS, you can do that. And you can go to, I believe it's maruos.com is their official website. Maruos.com, yes. So that's a little bit of hardware news, I'll say. I don't have a Nexus 5, so it's not news to me.
I do, but I have no interest in the product.
Well, the only reason I did, Mark, was, I'll say this, it was twofold. One, it fulfilled at least that childhood fantasy of the computer in my pocket. But realistically, what it would allow me to do is go to work, connect it to a large screen monitor, abuse the network, and not worry about overages. Because while I am on a T-Mobile unlimited plan, I do believe my tethering is limited to 5 gigs before it slows down.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. Yeah, and my hardware news is I did ship the Google Cardboard out to our winner from last week.
Awesome.
Yeah, I was proud of myself. It was, and I was talking to Dor about this before the show, and it was not easy to get to the post office to get that done. But
I don't know how anybody does any business with the post office or a bank.
Because they're only open from 9 to 9:15 every third Thursday. I mean, it's I had to go to the post office to pick something up. I had my address changed, obviously. I moved recently, and apparently this parcel post, the way they do something, if it's sent to the wrong thing, parcel post, they actually send it back to the originating post office, have them look up the new address, and then resend it. So I moved 7 miles. And they were going to make it take an extra week and a half to get what I wanted. So I was like, well, I'll just go. Just hold it there. I called them up on the phone. Just hold it there. I'll come get it. When can I come get it? Oh, anytime between 9 and 3, Monday through Thursday. What? That doesn't even make any sense. Who can get there between 9 and 3, Monday through Thursday?
Now, our post office is open 8 to 5 every day. So it's not that bad.
Yeah. I was just... they said, well, we are open from 8 to 12 on Saturday. Okay, well, that makes it a little easier to swallow. But same thing with banks. If you have to go to the bank, you have to take off of work to do it. Just the way it is.
I don't know. I guess it must be Atlanta. We don't have that here, but there's
I mean, can you go into the lobby of a bank after business hours?
No, but I do know banks that you can. None of the banks that I do business with, but
right.
there are some that you can go into the lobby and there's an ATM machine for use inside there. For one, every reason they didn't buy a weatherproof one, so it's inside the bank, and you go in. Yeah,
that's funny.
Yeah,
yeah, that's the best I can do. And I can tell you, my post office is closed when I leave for work in the morning. It's closed by the time I get home from work in the morning. Literally, and I'm not exaggerating. Literally, I've been working for my institution for 20 plus years. Well, no, 20 years this October. For the last decade plus. I maybe get 1 to 2 lunches every 2 weeks, 3 weeks, something like that. It's not very many, partially because, and I'm not trying to say I'm holier than thou. I'm dedicated, blah, 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 blah. But my real goal is when I go to work is to take that taxpayer dollar and stretch it as far as I possibly can to be as valuable as possible. So I really don't try to take too many lunches. And the closest post office to me every day closes from 12 until 3 for lunch.
Oh my gosh.
That's not lunch.
I know. But and I was one time in the place at 2:50 and an ex-employee came in and said, "These people are eating lunch for 3 hours. I know because I used to be one of them." And then she went and banged on the P.O. boxes and said, "Get your ass back to work." And she said, "And they're right behind this wall because I know because I used to work here." So I do everything I can to go to the other post office, and unfortunately, that's literally 15 minutes down the road.
No, wait. After she pounded on the post office boxes, did somebody come and open the window?
In less than 2 minutes, yes.
No, I don't have that experience. We've got decent post offices and okay banks, I guess.
All right. That's
something I've been taking for granted, obviously, all these years.
I mean, it's been my experience in rural Texas and in metro Atlanta, so I assumed it was a universal. Maybe it's just a southern thing. Maybe you northern people have more Yankee ingenuity.
I don't know. But is it major metropolitan areas, maybe? Maybe the big towns?
That's what I'm saying. In rural Texas, I grew up in a town of 1,500. And after college, I lived in a town of 8,000. You know, so that's very small and mostly small. And now I live in an area of 1 million. And it's all pretty much the same. If you want to go to the bank, if you want to go inside, you got to do it on a weekday. Now, Foolish Brantley in the chat room is saying that some banks have Saturday hours. That's true. Bank of America has Saturday hours. But the regional banks, that's not been my experience. Just the national, the big chains do. I don't know. And I don't like dealing with the big banks if I don't have to.
No, me either.
Mm-mm. Correction. I don't like dealing with banks unless I have to.
Like my bank right now. I'm not going to say who they are. I should publicly shame them, but I'm not going to. As I mentioned, I recently bought a house. I pretty much had to liquidate most of my liquid money to do that. That's what happens when you buy a house. So I have money in, you know, long-term sort of things, but my balances got low enough, and, you know, we're talking sub $10,000 between all of my banking and savings. That was the limit. Once I dropped below $10,000 in those two combined accounts, they started charging me a fee for both the checking and the savings. So I am now paying large mega bank $50 a month for the privilege of holding my money for me.
That's not good. You should run take all your money and run out of that bank and go somewhere normal.
I agree, I should, but moving banks is almost as hard as moving houses. You got to change all your payment information, and you know, it's just a thing. It's the same reason people don't change passwords. It's a hassle to do it. But yeah, I really should do it because, I mean, $50 a month, right? $600 a year they're charging me for the privilege of holding onto my money.
I don't take that from a bank. I will remove my money so fast if they even. I've got a banker, and the guy takes care of me. Anything I need, he hooks me up. If I can't get it, he'll tell me what I got to do to get it.
That's the way it was in the small town that I lived in. It was great. I knew everybody there, and then they got bought by a national bank, and it all went downhill from there. Same employees, new rules.
Yeah, this bank's changed names 3 times in the 6 years I've been dealing with them. But go ahead, Dora. I'm sorry.
Right. Well, I'll just tell you, here's one of the banks I use, because I actually do use more than one bank, and it's a long story. But part of this might make you throw up in your mouth, but hear me now, believe me later. If you want a completely free, no minimum balance bank with no minimum number of accounts either, you can open multiple accounts under the one account, completely no charge whatsoever. Bluebird is very easy to use. Bluebird is a joint venture between American Express and Walmart. And there's no fees ever, completely free, easy to use, set up an account really quickly, get your card, get your whatever you need, and you never pay any dime to them.
So how do I deposit a check? Can I snap a picture with my iPhone, that kind of thing? Because, you know, we all have iPhones on this show.
I'm 99% sure you can set up direct deposit or you can take a picture.
Slip, yes. Man.
Would you say, Eric?
I thought I could take a picture.
Would you say, Eric?
That was a bad Freudian slip. can you come clean with this, Mark? Do you have an iPhone?
I don't. Okay. My tang just got tangled up, I guess.
You know, it's for his sister or his friend's friend.
Because for my podcasting business, I needed a bank because occasionally people send me checks. Not often. Not often enough here lately. But occasionally people send me checks for podcasting. And so I needed something, and I wasn't going to pay somebody for the privilege. And it was hard to find somebody who had anything remotely like modern banking and didn't charge a fortune and would let me, you know, set up an account with you know, a very low balance. I settled on Iberia Bank. They're a regional bank. They're not national, I don't think. But they have something similar to modern banking. They have an e-checking system, kind of. It's the same one that my regional bank had like in 1994 when I first had electronic banking. It's the net teller system. It's a common system that a lot of people use. Mm-hmm. But so it's there, and they let me do it for free, but I still have to find one of their branches when I want to cash a check because I can't do the fancy phone things. So it's, you know, I don't understand why people won't give me everything and take nothing. I just don't understand.
There's no reason they shouldn't. They're using your money. Exactly. I think every bank around where I live, you can snap a picture of any check and deposit it into your account for free. And my bank, if I this is the weirdest thing, but I set up one of the accounts I have there is interest bearing. As long as I use my ATM card 15 times in a month, they'll pay me like 2.5% on all the money that's in this checking account. But I have to, when I had money in there and made it worth my while, I would just go to Walmart and buy like 15 packs of ramen noodles, one transaction at a time, and that worked. And actually, my banker said that's what you do with this. That's how you do it. So
they've got to be charging the merchants for that, and that's how they're making their money.
I don't care. Well, I don't know. I didn't ask. I don't know, but I was getting paid like 2.5%, which I couldn't make on a savings account, so I was fine.
All right. Well, that accidentally led us into an app, the Bluebird by American Express app that Dora has put in the chat room. So we're going to say that was our first app. so, Eric, what have you got to follow up tonight?
Okay. My first app tonight will be on the heels of the Nougat update for the Nexus phones. And I've been in the beta for a while, but one of the things the actual update took away was the night mode enabler, or was the night mode. So in your quick panel at the very top, you swipe down under your settings. or under your notifications, you have a quick panel, and there's, you know, on and off switches for flashlight and Wi-Fi and those things. Well, there was a night mode, and I'm more of a manual guy. I don't really like some of those apps just automatically turn a night mode on me at different times and gradually going in and all that stuff. I have bought those apps, but I prefer the toggle switch myself. So this brings it back, and this is all this app does, is brings back the feature, and it makes it look exactly the way it did when Nougat had this included, which I'm sure it will be coming back with in a future update. But for whatever reason, they took it out.
I don't know what that means. What is night mode?
Oh, okay. Night mode is basically it turns your takes all the blue out of your screen for when you're sitting in your bed, you know, reading eBay or whatever. It's supposed to not affect your eyes and not keep you awake.
Got it.
Gives it a reddish hint of color, I guess, maybe.
I used a PC app for years called Flux that was supposed to change the hue of the screen throughout the day. I hated it. It made my OCD like crazy because the icon was a different color depending on the hour of the day. That was just wrong. That's not okay. So I can't do that because when I look at this, it says to me that something's wrong with my phone, not, hey, it's time to go to sleep.
And I kind of felt that way myself. That's why I don't like the automatic ones. But when I'm sitting in bed, and I don't know, the 5X, I don't know if it doesn't have the sensor like the Samsungs did. My Samsung automatically dimmed at night really well. This one seems like it just, you know, stays as bright as it was earlier in the day. So having this, I mean, when it blares at you right off the bat, you're like, ooh, that's bright. And then, ooh, yeah, I can hit that night mode too and knock it down a little more so my wife can actually sleep. That's
all right. Night mode enabler by Mike Evans.
Yeah, I'll say every phone OS always wants to tweak its brightness settings. And what a lot of them do is they take what is the suggested Android tint or brightness based upon how much is coming in on the light sensor and either add or subtract to it. So almost every phone, if you set it on auto, you're going to have completely different results, even though it's the same amount of light hitting the phone. The Flux stuff, I will say, it's one of those things I believe has the best of intentions, and I really do think it has the best of intentions, and I really do think it possibly could help a fair percentage of people out. But most of the time, I'm unusual in the sense I have no problem going to sleep ever. I have no problem staying asleep, ever. Last night, I went to bed at around 7 p.m. because I was tired. I woke up at 6 a.m. this morning. I can do that, and nothing's going to wake me up. You know, there could be a car accident that hits my house. I still don't think I would wake up. So I will never benefit from these apps. But I do believe there are people out there that might benefit from these apps.
So a quick story about that. My next door neighbor, where I used to live, his garage and my bedroom were separated by 15 feet of lawn, and you know, and I was one story up. So let the hypotenuse there, call it 30 feet. He had a kid up the street. We lived at the bottom of the hill, and a kid up the street forgot to set the parking brake on the car, Ford Escort, some smallish vehicle, rolled down the hill, slammed through his garage door and into his car. I never knew it. Slept through the whole thing. So you say that a car could slam into your house. That almost literally happened to me, and we were completely unaware of it. I came out the next morning, and it was like, wow, what happened to your garage door? And he was like, how did you not hear that? It sounded like an atomic bomb going off. Nope, not a thing. Sound asleep.
Right, and just really quick, because I forgot to mention, the My Bluebird app from the Bluebird bank account thing, you can take pictures of checks. I did confirm it on the description. Okay. You can take pictures of checks, and you can get direct deposit enabled with it as well. I know it's not a full-fledged bank. To get a loan, I don't think you can get a loan through them. I don't think you can get a car loan through them. I don't think you can get a house loan through them kind of thing. It's literally just banking.
Can you write checks, or do you have to use their card?
You can get a free thing of checks for the first time around. I want to say it said in the
cool.
In the boobity boo, as I've heard it referred to as.
You automatically get a Walmart gas discount instead of having to buy the Walmart.
No, because that's a completely different entity. You can get pre-authorized Bluebird checks. Okay. I don't know what that means. And you can pay bills with it kind of thing. I would sooner send a fax and, you know, send a check. So I don't know nothing about no checks.
Agreed.
Well, the lawn guy looks at me funny when I say, here's a credit card. So, you know, I did want to make one comment about screen dimmers. You know, Eric, you were talking about your mode. See that little slider there that you see for your brightness.
Yes.
The auto brightening and dimming can only do a certain range to the left and to the right of where that dimmer is. So if you've got your phone all the way maxed up all the time, the adaptive brightness can't do much with that. Conversely, if you've got it all the way to the bottom, the adaptive brightness can't do much with that either. But if you keep it roughly in the middle, I mean, either way, but in the middle is or toward the middle is where you get the greatest benefit of adaptive brightness, because it'll only go, say, 25% either way of that fader.
Oh, so, okay. There you go. On the Nexus. So I think on Samsung,
it's on Android. That's part of the Android OS. So I'm talking about pure Android. I don't know what Samsung has built in.
Yeah, I think Samsung may have a little extra, because I think it goes way both ways. Like Dor said, they take it to the next. Whatever, that's them though. You know, it's cool. I'm good with this.
All right. See, do I have any emails? We have a couple of people saying, sign me up for the cardboard giveaway. Sorry, folks. You need to keep up on your podcasts. Let's see. No, it's Chad Corey says he likes 3D printing.
So do I.
Okay, here we go. Here's one from Scott Condor, who says, I've been a longtime listener. I want to thank you for making such a great podcast. I do have a question for you. Do you know of an Android app that I can use on my tablet to see if someone is looking at my screen over my shoulder? I've been looking for an app that uses the front camera that will open a small viewer so I can see when my curious coworkers are reading more than they should. Any help would be appreciated. Thanks, Scott.
Oh,
wow. That's a new level of paranoia, Scott.
That's yeah, you almost need those. Can he wear sunglasses at work with the little mirrors on the sides?
That's a thought.
Or, man, it seems like there should be an app for that.
That's not a technology problem. That's a social problem. Some coworkers need to be punched in the nose if that's going on.
Yeah, but you got to know when to swing back. With this app, he'd know when to swing.
I will say ditto and agree. But I will say there are apps on the phone called mirror apps, and that's seriously solely what they're supposed to do. You're supposed to hold it up, turn on the mirror app, and it's supposed to show you, because most time you use your front-facing camera, the image is reversed, so text is backwards. But with the mirror apps, it's supposed to show you what the camera's seeing as if it was in from your view.
Yeah, but he wants something while he's reading email, so he wants a windowed app.
Well, if it's Nougat, you got multitasking, or if it's like some fancy brand tab or note, he could do multitasking and have it up in the corner or on the side. He'd look at himself an awful lot, though. That might be all right. I've never met him. I wouldn't want to look at myself that long in anticipation of a peeper, but
I'll say this. In my place of work, first off, we have a certain level of paranoia that I think is unmatched in most other places. Multiple people right next to their monitor, right below their monitor, literally have a mirror. So while they're working, they can see their own cube entryway.
Well, there's the analog, what do they call it?
The loophole.
Yeah. Yeah. No DRM.
Yeah. You would need a floating mirror app. So I don't know. Let's go to the Google Play Store. By going to play.google.com, HTTPS, of course, because we all need secure connections when we search for apps. Mirror and just floating.
If it's a fairly name brand tablet he's using, he may be able to go on to Amazon and get some kind of a chrome or mirrored skin for his tablet, and he could just have the bezel be a mirror.
Now, see, the only thing I'm seeing is like a mirror on your home screen. Let me take a look at the actual app called Mirror.
See, I'm thinking this is a hardware fix.
It does have it does have floating technique. Mirror by Spring Apps. With the icon is literally a black outline of a mirror. If you go take a look at that app, does not look new, looks very old, and the description says it's a mirror using floating technique. You can see the mirror while using other apps.
So what he needs, he needs a security camera floating app that also has motion detection. He could hold his head perfectly still, and then when some motion happens behind him, his LED flashes to let him know. I don't know. I don't know.
That sounds like exactly what he's looking for, Dor.
Well, there you go. All mirror, Spring Apps. 70 reviews, 3.9 reviews, version 2.0.0, last updated December 7th, 2015, doing 10 and 50,000 installs.
And apparently beautiful women use this app in the rain or lying in fields. That's when they use the mirror app.
You say beautiful. I'll say from my experience in Baltimore, she looks like she might be have a habit of narcotic nature.
Jeez, Tor.
Well, the one on the last one, she's...
Just because she's got Chinese writing over her face? Is that what you're talking about, Tor?
Yeah, you got me, Eric.
I believe he's referring to the sunken cheeks.
I'm sorry. If you've seen The Wire, then you understand what I'm talking about.
I haven't. I don't know.
I don't know. This show's going downhill, but I feel that we didn't start very high up. So, I mean, we like started down the street, and now we're in the gutter.
Well, here, let me at least try to regain some, I don't know, character
back. Bring us back to our center.
My, like, maybe appealing to certain people's nostalgia.
Okay.
I saw a posting today from Richard Quirin on the old RC racer, slot racer sets. And I do remember owning those old car tracks. You snap together, you put the car in with a little pin sticking out of it. You hold down the little button and it goes around the track at a certain speed. Now, I was really used to like them as a kid. Here's a app called Hot Lap Heroes. Now, it comes with a couple caveats. First off, on mine, I'm not seeing a video.
Nor am I, which justifies the $4 price.
Okay, well, because I thought on my phone, I thought I saw a video. This is a top-down three-quarter view app where you're looking at a raceway, and you can basically race around all kinds of different landscapes, different settings, you and like eight racers. Looks very easy to control, very easy to race, very easy to have fun. Now, here's the gimmick. If you go look at this app, again, it's Hot Lap Heroes by Team P. Three reviews, people. 5.0, of course, because there's only three reviews and their friends did it. Between 1 and 5 installs, current version 1.1. Okay. If you scroll down and if you take a look at more from developer, what you see is Hot Lap Heroes controller. Okay. This app is really new. Really, really new if you haven't gathered that so far. Really, 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 really stinking new and won't install on nearly anything I have.
Well, it only installs on one thing.
Well, no. Here's the thing. It's people do this early with their apps so they don't get bad reviews. They limit the number of people who can install them. But then when they get better, they open up to more devices. So soon I'll be able to install it to my device. But here's the gimmick. Hot Lap Heroes controller. What this is going to let me do, for instance, is take my Odroid C2 connected to my big screen TV, load the Hot Lap Heroes app. Then I can load Hot Lap Heroes controller on my phone, my son's phone, my other son's tablet, my nephew's tablet, and have them all sit in front of a TV. They all use their device as a controller, yet on the TV, the actual Hot Lap Heroes is playing. And we all have our own game pads. We all have our own controllers, and we're playing multiplayer racing games on the big screen TV. That's the promise, at least.
Only if you have an NVIDIA Shield hooked up currently.
No.
Yes, that's what it is. That's what I was saying. There's only one device it works on right now. It's coming for the Apple TV.
They better extend it, is what I'm saying, because I really, really like the idea of this. I got to say that. And if you go take a look at Hot Lap Heroes on YouTube and you watch the video, it is a very smooth looking racers game. Not modern, not realistic, not simulator. It's definitely a game. It definitely uses like a block animation style, nothing high def, but very smooth.
I put another link in there. There's the link to the developers, and they've got a nice trailer right on their website too. You watch it. And that's probably what you saw on your phone is this video. But yeah,
I can tell you by the first seconds, yes, this is exactly what I saw.
So the C2 is as powerful as a NVIDIA Shield, you think?
I don't think I would go and say that. NVIDIA Shields have ridiculously crazy graphic processors on them that are unmatched by virtually any other device.
So this may be difficult to play on anything but the Shield, do you think, or not?
No. I will say this. With time, there's little doubt in my mind they could make this run on basically any tablet or any phone. There's nothing spectacular going on here. This is very simple graphics, as far as I can tell. And
it's got a weird fog shade to it, though. And then, like, the trees do move with wind, kind of, in some of the video. So I don't know. Maybe there's... Yeah, it doesn't... You're right, Dor. It's not super... It shouldn't be super high-end graphics to have to run this.
Well, if they're smart, they would make this Hot Lap Heroes run on basically any device, period, because I can tell you right now, I would happily pay $4 for something I can play on my TV and have up to, technically speaking, 8 different people race on one screen. I think that's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, currently it's available for Apple TV and NVIDIA Shield, and that's it. So keep an eye on it for later, but not very useful for a wide range of people right now.
Well, you know, not trying to sound like I am made of oil and water, but I really do try to stay ahead of the curve, and this of me is a classic example of being almost too far ahead, but I really hope this kind of thing gains popularity, gains support, gains hardware support, and becomes an actual thing that more people can use, because I think it's really good looking.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I stand behind everything you just said. It's just not there yet.
Yeah.
Eric, do you have something that is there yet?
I have a game that's there, and it's now. So, yes, it's all there. This is called The Higher Lower Game by Code Computer Love Limited.
Okay, now you do know the first thing that comes to my mind, right?
No.
Bob Barker. Price is
Right. Oh, yeah, sure. This is nothing like that.
Oh, I tried.
Well, I don't know. So, anyway, now the video here is a review by some geeky dude who cusses, so I'll make that warning there. But basically, what this game is it takes Google searches and throws a picture with it in the Google search, and you have to say if the first item has higher average monthly searches or lower average monthly searches. If the second item has more or less average monthly searches than the first item.
Okay, hold on. Give me an example.
Okay, so there'll be like, I'll pull it up on my screen, and we'll just play.
So here's this one from the screen. Great Barrier Reef has 201,000 average monthly searches. Uranus has higher or lower searches than Great Barrier Reef.
Higher.
Okay, so Cheap Flights has 6,120,000 searches. Rapid Eye Movement, is it higher or lower?
Lower.
Lower.
9,900 is all. Yes, you're right. Okay, so Rapid Eye Movement has 9,900. We just learned that, right? Kristen Stewart, higher or lower?
I don't know who that is.
And it does kind of show a chick there, and that's Kristen. I'm going to say just because it's a girl, it's going to be higher. It's
higher.
Yes, she's got 2,740,000 to get with the door.
Oh, geez. Okay.
So Kristen Stewart, higher or lower than Nike? Is Nike higher or lower than Kristen Stewart?
Lower. Higher. Has to be higher.
No. Nike? You think it's going to be higher than that?
Yeah.
I'm with Mark. We're going lower.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, you were right, Dor. And then you get a crazy GIF whenever you lose. So you'll love this game, Dor. Whenever you lose, it gives you some kind of like GIF telling you how bad you are. And then it gives you a number. Now, if you had been on a good roll and you want to keep going, you can hit oops, keep going. And you'll have to watch a commercial, a video, to keep where you were at. Or you hit start a new game. And even when you hit a start a new game, you still have to look at a commercial, but it's not a 30-second long one. And it seems like every commercial is for iFunny. Since Dora's gone, we'll keep the party going, Mark, since we didn't do so good. Weight loss. Or car insurance. Is car insurance higher or lower than weight loss?
Higher.
Yes. 1 million for car insurance, and weight loss was only 300,000. Okay, car insurance at 1 million or Paramount Pictures? Paramount Pictures higher or lower?
Higher.
No, only 49,500. And there's your GIF of a cat pawing at something for losing.
That's not a good score. Quick, no. Click play again.
No, you scored one. That's not a good score. The average score is 3.2. Quick, play again. And we'll pretend that we didn't see that score. I don't even know who Ayrton Senna is. It must be a race car driver. Ayrton Senna has 246,000. Michael Schumacher, higher or lower? Which also looks like a race car driver.
Is he dead? I think he's dead, so I'll say less.
Less? No. 1,220,000. We got zero on that one. Let's try another game. Manchester City has 3,350,000. versus Benjamin Franklin. Is Benjamin Franklin higher or lower?
Higher, much higher.
Higher.
Benjamin Franklin's only 450,000.
No.
Manchester was 3 million. Okay. Was.
Well, that's a soccer team.
Yeah.
Or football, sorry.
Ramadan, 823,000. How about Manny Pacquiao? Higher or lower?
Manny Pacquiao. Pacquiao.
Boxer. Yeah.
Pacquiao?
Higher.
Higher.
Exactly the same. 823,000. So tie goes to the winner. We are the winner in that case. So we get to keep going. Okay. That boxer you just said. Or Colgate. Colgate higher or lower?
Lower.
How many was Pacquiao?
823,000. Colgate was 165,000. Somehow it let us keep going. I don't know why. Okay. Colgate, 165,000. Brian Adams higher or lower?
Ooh.
Lower. 20 years ago, it would have been higher.
550,000. He times as much as Colgate. Okay. So you get the idea, right? Fun game. Fun for all ages.
Yeah, that's a fun thing to do when people are around or, you know, like when you're waiting in line at, for something or at a restaurant waiting for your food. That'd be a fun game to play.
And I'd be interested on if the three of us were to play this individually, a screenshot of your highest score. Just saying. We would do a little AAA challenge.
Well, see,
we've been known to do this.
If I had to mention, compare, this is almost like the modern day Family Feud. Because if you remember Family Feud and it's still on, you never guess what you think is the right answer. You guess what you think people said. Sure. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So to me, it's the same kind of mechanics involved. I like the idea of this, but I'm also sure I would suck.
And assuming you don't have a Google Apps account, no, I'm not bitter at all. You can. This is a family library available app.
And they just showed a picture of a midwife, so I had to hurry up and stop the video because that was nasty.
I don't even know who showed that.
Don't watch the video.
Oh, yeah, don't listen to the video either. That's not family friendly.
All right, let me move on to an email from our friend Ben Lawson. He says, hey, guys, I have a hardware question that I'm stuck on. While you're not primarily a hardware show, your candid opinions are helpful and appreciated. Preface with this. I'm okay with $20 to $30 a month phone payment in order to get a new high-end device. So, do you think the Galaxy S7 Active is worth the extra cost for extra battery size and durability over the standard S7? Or should I just settle for the S7 and a case since it's new, water-resistant too, and will possibly get even cheaper when the S8 hits? Currently, I have the LG V10, but I'm looking for a more durable and compact phone. I've had numerous Samsung phones, S2, S4, and S6, and I returned for the V10. I personally like a lot of what they have done with software and such. I just don't want a fragile phone. I'm willing to move from a Verizon to AT&T specifically if the Active is needed, plus more data, same cost. But, anywho, as for an app contribution, well, let's stop there and address this hardware thing first. S7 Active or standard S7?
Did he say what the price difference was?
He did not.
I've had
a way to find that out.
Samsung phones quite a bit, and other than the initial not working, they've been very durable, and I've never had an Active version. So I think, and I always have a case on my phone. I like the idea of customizing my own case and not using the one that's built into an Active phone in case. For some reason, you don't like any part of that case. You can't really change it, I don't think. I mean, you might.
Okay, so Galaxy S7 32 gig black at Best Buy, just because that's what came up when I did the search, is $199 upfront. Okay, S7 Active Best Buy $795 upfront.
I would not pay $600 more for the Active at all. Go with the
now, S7. You could probably get it for $199 sponsored through AT&T, so maybe that's the point. He switches carriers, and he gets it for roughly the same cost. That I don't know. But if you're buying it outright, and I don't buy through carriers. I always buy outright. It's just the better way to go, in my opinion. So I would say no phone is worth a $600 premium, period, end of discussion.
I will agree with you, and I will say if you just take a look at the regular hardware specs, there's not much of a difference whatsoever, and I love using that word now, whatsoever, because I now know it's one word and not three. For pure durability, the S7 Active is far, far, far more durable than S7, but the S7 is technically, I believe it's IPS, which is the ingress protection rating system tell you how bad water can get in and dust can get in. I do believe it's a 67, which is among the better best. So it isn't like the S7 is completely fragile. Like you said, it's waterproof up to, I believe, 30 feet maybe.
So it was an OtterBox for $50.
Yeah, I personally don't like the S7 Active because of the three hardware buttons on the front. Your back, home, and middle button, or whatever they're back, I don't know. Recent, I guess. Three hardware buttons on the front, just, I don't know if I'd like that at all.
I can tell you, I know I wouldn't, but if durability is the thing, it's really hard to not get the Active. If durability is only a plus and not a requirement, I would probably just go with the S7 and that's it. Just because the price is so much less.
And okay, well, let's bring some rationality into this discussion. Maybe I misunderstood and he meant the S7 Edge, which is $299. Okay, so let's go with that. The numbers are even less dramatic there. So let's say we're talking about the Edge at $299 or the Active at $699. So $300 or $700. You could buy 2.5 S7 Actives for the Edges for the cost of an Active. So if you're looking at durability, how many times a year are you going to break your phone? If you're going to break it more than 2.5 times a year, then you need to pay the $700 price. If you're going to break it less than 2.5 times a year, then buy the cheaper phone.
And if you think you might ever use your phone with a kickstand and want to buy a case that has a kickstand built into it, get the Edge. I don't know. I don't work in construction. And I, as a repair shop owner, I had people bring me the Casio. It was an Android Casio phone.
Yeah. And that was the ridiculous one.
Yeah. And the guy was going up a ladder. I mean, I replaced a broken screen on his Casio, whatever the heck it was. And it was supposed to be the indestructible Android phone, and he destroyed it. And from talking to the guy when he brought it in, it didn't seem like it was really that big of a. It didn't seem like it was that big of a fall that it took or a hit that it took to break it.
Again, I'm not a big fan of giant, thick, bulky cases, but I have a friend who's a contractor, a construction worker, and he swears by the OtterBox cases. He says he's dropped them off of girders 30, 40 feet down onto concrete. He's run over them, probably in mud or something like that, not straight on concrete. And the OtterBox has always protected him. So if you're willing to put up with that extra, spare tire essentially wrapped around your phone, then there is a much more price sensitive option available that gives you the durability, or at least close to it, again, without a 2.5x cost increase.
A couple more things on cases. Go ahead, Dor.
No, I was going to say, I agree. I'm not a fan of a thick case again at all, but those OtterBoxes are ridiculously worth the money. I've seen them be literally put through hell and come out and the phone still works perfectly fine.
Okay, and I would say if you're looking at OtterBox, take a look at LifeProof. Liam Tidwell has seen both of them in his shop. And the LifeProof, I think you can take an iPhone and just bounce it off the floor with a LifeProof on it. And he used to have a display in his shop of a phone in an aquarium just sitting there chilling. LifeProof, I've heard, are better than OtterBox, but if you're not an extreme construction worker on girders up high in instances where you're going to drop it, a regular case with a tempered glass screensaver on there, you can drop your phone and not destroy your phone. I've dropped this 5X numerous times, and I've just got it's called a cheap Cido case. It does have a kickstand on it if I ever need to use that. And I keep, and I've broken my, my tempered glass screen protector numerous times. I just swap out another one. That's enough protection for me, and it doesn't add much bulk at all. And I get to hide my metal plates in here for my magnet mounts in the car.
I'm just looking right now, did a quick search at podnuts.com/Amazon. A LifeProof FRE series waterproof case for Samsung Galaxy S7 is $47.
Yeah, hard to beat.
Yep. Second part of the email.
Second part. Anyhoot, as for an app contribution, I hear you talking about Bluetooth issues. I have one I've found helpful with my V10. I had a continuous Bluetooth connection issue since day one, specifically in my car, where it connects slash drops and starts slash stops my music repeatedly until I manually connect within the settings. To remedy this, I've downloaded a simple app, Bluetooth Auto Connect by Unique Tech Inc. It forces a connection, and so far I've had what feels like 99% success rate auto-connecting to my car ever since downloading, and it also didn't screw up any of my other Bluetooth connections in the process, the running watch, gamepad, headphones, ODB2 device. The app also has numerous settings for prioritizing connections, triggering based off events, charger, connect, disconnect, although I've not messed with those much, but having the phone connect like it's supposed to is well worth the 10 megs of space taken up by the app for me. Thanks for the weekly entertainment, Ben. All right, that sounds like something I need, Ben.
What was that called again?
Bluetooth Auto Connect by Unique Tech Inc.
Okay.
UNIQTEC. Because we can't spell things normally on the internet.
We had a lot of people talking about that last stuff in the chat, and I totally missed it. I'm going to go back and read a little bit. But go ahead. I'm not having issues. Mark, were you having issues with that?
I was complaining that my phone routinely refuses to connect or disconnect. Like, it just happened this morning, for example. I get in my truck. I have my Bluetooth FM transmitter so that I can listen to it through the radio. It connects. I hear the audible tone that it's connected, but nothing plays through it. So I have to then turn off Bluetooth, turn Bluetooth back on, let it reconnect, and then see if things will play through it. Maybe it will. Maybe it won't. Then I turn Bluetooth off again and turn it back on again, then it connects, then I can play things through it. So then when I get to work and I turn off my truck Bluetooth and turn on my headphones, same scenario all over again.
Yeah, I'll say I have my first Bluetooth vehicle, and what I cannot stand is every time my wife gets out of the car and I'm still in the car, it does not want to drop her connection and go over to my phone. And then 99% of the time when I say to the car, drop the connection, connect to my phone, I sit there for sometimes 3.5 minutes while it's thinking, do I want to connect? Do I want to connect? Unless I actively go to my phone and say, turn off Bluetooth, turn it back on, then go to really quickly, then go to the car and say, connect to my phone. Then it happens near immediate. I will say I've witnessed some definite funky behavior with my Bluetooth. And I've been an anti-Bluetooth guy for years, because I'd never had a car with it and I don't want to charge any more devices than I already have. And I'm having issues with it. And I don't know. This might actually help, so I will definitely check it out.
So I was complaining about this on a recent episode to Door, and he said that it was probably some app refusing to drop the connection, which sounds logical, but in the scenario that I described that just happened this morning, nothing had been connected by Bluetooth for like 15 hours. And yet still, it didn't refuse to connect. It connected. It just wouldn't play media through it. So crazy stuff. And maybe this will fix it. Maybe it won't. But we'll try it out.
Thank you, Ben.
I like the idea of because I have a dock in my car. I put it on the dock. I plug in the charger. I connect to the Bluetooth. If I could have it do that automatically, if in range of this and plugged in, connect, that sounds pretty good to me.
But if not plugged in, you don't want it to?
Well, it's just I always do.
Right.
So that would cover 90% of the time. The other 10%, I can tap the button.
Yeah, my truck's got a Pioneer aftermarket Bluetooth radio in it, and it's the best Bluetooth device I have because it always connects automatically every time, and I don't understand why it's so much better than other things.
It's probably a much more powerful radio because it's got that big battery all connected to it all the time.
That could be.
Might be my guess.
Possible.
All right, thanks, Ben, for the app, and I hope we gave you some sound advice on the hardware. I guess we'll find out. So, Dor, back to you. What is your next app for the week?
Okay. Well, the app I'm going to bring, if you give me just like 3 seconds here, it is one of those games that I can clearly say without any hesitation is a console quality game. I was literally shocked when I saw this, and I had a little bit of disbelief when I saw this. So I immediately went to YouTube, did a search, and watched video on it. This is a Assassin's Creed Identity by Ubisoft Action. Brand new game, 8,700 reviews, 3.6 average rating. I version 2.6.0 between 50,000 and 100,000 installs. Does have some sort of in-app purchase. I'm not entirely sure. It is $5 to buy. Okay, now I'm going to play for the people watching the video now. Video from Android Gameplay for You. I was shocked. I was literally shocked at the quality of gameplay on this. This is absolutely, without no doubt in my head, comparable to Xbox, the original Xbox and or Xbox 360 gameplay mechanics, and I don't want to say graphics, but at least presentation of the game. Blown away. I literally bought this near immediately, gave it to my oldest kid, gave it to his nephew who does have a 360, and asked them for their feedback on it, and they were both just completely freaking out about how much that they liked this game.
You let them play this game, huh? I'm surprised. I thought that you were more monitoring of them.
It said, if I'm not mistaken, T for teen in it, and my son is 11 years old, but I can tell you right now, he's more mature than most 20-year-olds I meet.
No, that's cool. I just know that I know of playing this game myself on an Xbox where you just basically you're walking up behind people and slicing their neck and letting them drop.
Yeah, like this that. Is about assassinating people, hence it's Assassin's Creed and not Peacebringer's Creed. And I got to tell you guys this. I only played it for a couple minutes. I didn't have a lot of time because it did seem like every time I opened up the app, this is more than a 2-minute, 3-minute endeavor. Yeah. I would have to partake in, but I'm telling you guys right now, if this is not proof to the core that console quality games are coming to Android, I don't know what it's going to take for people to finally believe it.
Yeah, this game's beautiful.
And surprisingly, when you walk up behind somebody and stab them, the people around them don't like that.
It might take them a second to react, but yes.
Yeah. Oddly enough, they tend to want to stop you from doing that again.
Yeah, my nephews who play, I'll just say this, far, far more violent games than this, were literally like, they literally said to me, "Uncle Steve, I can't believe I'm playing this on Billy's phone." And I said, "Well, what do you mean by that?" The one kid said, "This is almost exactly like one of the games I have," and I believe he has a 360. So that made me feel really good. And this gives me promise for the idea, the past dream of an Android console, where it actually could come to fruition. Game developers are going to have to step their game up, but this kind of thing, to me, is like a proof in the pudding kind of thing.
Well, that's what NVIDIA wants to do with the Shield. That's their whole idea.
Well, and the latest rumor says the next generation NVIDIA X2 processor is going to be the processor in the Nintendo NX hybrid next generation console. We don't know, but I can tell you from what I'm seeing on these phones makes me believe it is possible for ARM NVIDIA to be the next generation console.
I got nothing.
I remember that part where he's hiding in the hay bale on a rack from, I don't know if that's from a newer game, a newer version of Assassin's Creed, and they brought it over to this one, or if this is actually the older one that, we're playing just like the older one. But yeah, this is cool.
Right. Well, you do know what comes into my head when you say that, right, Eric? Roll in the hay, roll in the hay from, Young Frankenstein. Gene Wilder just passed away, and I gotta say, real big talent. If you don't know anything about him, I encourage you to watch Young Frankenstein. And if you do not laugh at least a couple times, then I'm afraid you are emotionless.
Yeah, after Gene Wilder passed away, I had this instinct, as I often do, to have a festival, to binge on his work. And to have, watched several of the movies back to back. And so I started looking through not only my personal library, but also things available online. And I realized I can't watch any of these with my kids. Not a one.
Right.
Gene Wilder did not make, except for Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, did not make family-friendly movies. And I got to say, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, when they're on that boat and he's quoting the poem, even my kids get a little creeped out by that. In fact, I remember reading an article where he didn't practice that. He wouldn't. Right. He wanted to perform it live, and the kids on the boat with him, the actor kids, got creeped out, and they had to like stop shooting for a while because he was so creepy when he did it.
Yeah, I did hear that, and I did hear that opening scene of Willy Wonka coming out the door and coming out the coming down the walkway. He had to argue with the director, and after doing 15, 20 takes of him not doing it, he convinced the director to let him do it at least once. And then when he was done that scene, the director said, why would you come out the door like you're injured and crippled and then get your cane stuck and then do a flip? He said, I wanted to set the precedent in the first scene of me of you're not sure if he's telling the truth or if he's lying to you. And I wanted to make that the opening scene and to make sure that for the rest of the movie, people thought that. Hmm. And the director said, well, I'm sold.
Now, I heard an interview of him, a fairly recent one. It was in the radio because everybody was doing the retrospectives of everything. And he had said that he didn't want to make any movies that had sex or the F word in them at all. For the same reasons that you, Mark, said you wouldn't let your kids watch them. He wanted to make kids smile, and he wouldn't do any movies after he got what did he have? Alzheimer's.
Had cancer.
Wasn't it Alzheimer's?
Well, he died from complications with Alzheimer's, but I do believe he had one cancer at one point in his life.
He didn't want kids to remember him in a weird or scary way, so that's why he stopped doing movies.
Well, and here's the thing. You got to remember, back when he was doing movies, what was rated PG-13 now is considered rated R.
Yeah. Yeah, they were more liberal. I mean, like the movie Airplane. There's just gratuitous nudity for no reason on that movie, you know? And
well, there was no PG-13. It was either PG or R. Yeah. And so there were several criteria for R. And if you didn't meet those criteria, you were PG. So PG-13 changed all that. And also, now every comic book movie has to be PG-13. They're the highest rating grossing movies category.
I don't know. I think Deadpool kind of made people rethink that. And supposedly even there's a Wolverine movie that now they're considering doing in rated R because of that.
There was a great comedy called Student Bodies that came out in the 80s.
I remember the name of that.
Yeah, it was a send up of like the Friday the 13th and all those kind of movies. And it's a perfectly clean movie all the way throughout, although lots of people do die. They do so in an off-screen manner or in such a bizarre manner that you it's not violent, just weird. But there's a point in the movie where everything stops and suddenly you're in an office. The whole movie takes place in a school setting. And suddenly you're in an office and the camera is on a dolly shot and zooming toward this older guy in a three-piece suit as he talks. And he says that, market research shows that rated R movies are the most popular movies. And as he's doing the whole time, the camera's getting closer. And there are three different criteria. And he lists them and says, so allow me to take this moment to say, F you. And then it stops and it goes on with the rest of the film. And I just, that made such an impression on me as a kid, that's such a witty way to do something. And to, you know, the whole fourth wall breaking thing. Anyway, I just, Student Bodies, check it out. It's probably on Netflix. It's probably not nearly as good as I remember it, but I remember it as being like if the Zucker brothers did horror movies.
Yeah. None of the movies.
And now Dor's looking that up. So
none of the movies back then are as good as I remember them. And,
None? Not one.
Well,
Raiders of the Lost Ark is not as good as you remember.
Okay, none that I've seen again.
Okay, well, you need to watch that then.
Okay.
It made fun of the fact that serial killers only kill people who are having sex. Jason Voorhees never killed somebody with their top on. Just didn't happen. Whose turn is it to do an app? I think it is up to Eric. So please, Eric, bring us an app.
All right, I got one. Last week I brought a couple apps from Google, so I'm going to do that again. Google came out with another new app, and this one, I don't know, I guess it's new. It's new to me, right? So does that make it new?
It's new.
Yeah, August 29th. That's new. So this one's called Crowdsource, and it sort of reminds me of Google Opinion Rewards, But basically, they are trying to have you answer questions that will help their OSs and AI work better. So there's a couple translation things where they want you to perform translations of words into and out of different languages. I only speak English and very little Spanish, so I couldn't help much there. But I did do image transcription, where basically you're looking at road signs and addresses and things with words on them, signs, and you've got to type in what it says. And then also handwriting recognition, where you're kind of looking at what things people have written in the past and what it should say, because they couldn't make it out. And then maps translation was, I think, also foreign language things on maps. I imagine if you do this enough, you will get rewarded in some way. I have not.
Nope.
No. Well, this says in the last one, it shows contributions. So I'm hoping, but I have not received any kind of anything for doing these yet. I would hope they would pay you something for being a Mechanical Turk.
Nope.
It's your contributions. It's your badges is the way I look at that.
Okay. So
you just did 15 things for the good of society.
Right.
Okay. I haven't done enough to earn one yet.
Yeah. I'll say I believe in emphasis and bold. If they would have released this 4 or 5 years ago, a lot more people would have been willing to just load it and try it because it was a Google product and the best apps back then were by Google. But there is literally no reward with this application. Now I'll say this. If I spoke multiple languages, or if I spoke non-English languages, I do believe I would be more of a benefit to this service. I do believe translating into English is probably the easiest thing they have access to. So I did install it. I did load it. I did pick my languages. I did pick the things, and then I did look at them. But I thought to myself, how much time am I going to spend in this, and how much is Google going to benefit? And I thought to myself, I don't think they're going to benefit much from just little old me.
That's why
don't they employ thousands of people? I mean, why do they need us? Can't they just have all their employees spend 5 minutes a day doing this?
Yeah, that's probably true.
Or interns, maybe. I don't know.
I just think they trust me more than they trust themselves.
I mean, you have to, according to one of the pictures here, translate from English to Indonesian. What procedures do pediatric dentists perform? That's a fairly esoteric phrase. You really have to speak Indonesian very, very well to do. I don't even know if Indonesian is the right way to say it. It says Bahasa Indonesia. I don't even know what that means. But anyway, I couldn't say that in Spanish. And no. I took many years of Spanish in school.
I can barely say it in English.
All right. You said you had two of them, Eric. What's the next one?
Oh, did I? Oh, are we emptying the tank? Are we emptying the tank right now?
Sure. Why not?
Okay. All right. This one's not a Google app. No, I said last week I brought a couple. But that's all right. This is not a Google app, but it's similar to one. And I think it was Tom Zach in the Google Plus that may have given us this app, which Dora swears we brought before, but I did the research and we have not.
Well,
unless it was called something else.
Well, we did lose more than a couple apps when we converted over to the Google spreadsheet. So it's possible. And the only reason I say that is because the icon looks so it looks like I've seen it too many times, but go ahead. Sorry.
No, it's okay. It's been a while since we brought one from the attic anyway. So from the Android app, Attic's Attic. Tasks free, and this is by Team Tasks, E for Everyone. Basically, this is a tasking app where you can make a simple, jot this down, I need to remember this for later, or I need to get this done, take out the garbage, pick up some coffee, go to the store, get milk, whatever it is. And it will then go into the Google Gmail, and I think it's under, is it Tasks in Gmail, I think?
Yes.
Yep. And it goes right in there and syncs with all your devices. So it just works well.
Okay. Is it shareable?
Shareable as for like different
accounts? Could I share the grocery list with my wife, for example?
I don't know. I just installed it. I didn't have anything that did this, so I'm happy with it at this point, but I don't know. Can you share tasks from Google? I would imagine you probably would do it on that end. Like maybe you could take your Gmail and email the whole list, possibly. Well, let me look in there real quick and see if there's anything obvious.
I do think you can share completed complete task list with individuals, but I don't see a place in the interface, at least, where you can do it.
See, I use Google now for all of this. I tell my phone, remind me at 4 o'clock to pick up dog food. So I think this may be a resource whose time has come and gone.
You don't have long-term goals in Google Plus? Or do you have long-term goals like that? Yes, you can.
Yeah, I use Google Now. Yeah.
So you keep up running, like, check that one off, check that one off in Google Now?
No, I use Google Keep for that, actually.
Okay. Well, so from my Gmail account, I can email task list. I can print it. I can view completed tasks, sort by date, clear completed tasks. Yeah. I don't know. I've never used it.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying I think it's I don't get it.
I think it's an old thing that I just got. I frequently don't get it.
Well, I'll say I'm of the mentality of Mark. I say to myself, self, I know I can do this Tuesday night at 10 o'clock. So then I set a reminder in Google Now to say, Google, set reminder Tuesday night, 10:30. Don't forget to do this. And then I get my reminder in my phone to do it. This is more of the people who like to look at a list, a organized list, and say, these are the things I need to get done, and then work at it from that direction.
So, like, for example, a while back, I went and got my oil changed, and the little plastic sticker they stick up in the window fell off, and I couldn't get to go back on. A defective sticker, dirty window, I don't know. So I was wrestling with it there in the parking lot, and I thought, this is 2016. Why are you wrestling with a piece of plastic? I said, okay, Google, remind me in 3 months to get my oil changed at 121,000 miles. So I don't know when that is. I just know that at some point, 3 months from now, it's going to pop up and tell me to do this, and it's going to give me the mileage so that I know what time to do it. So that's the way I use my Googles.
I think this would be more like you have one thing on your list called get a new bank, a second thing on your list called start your third business, and a fourth thing on your list, buy 8,000 koozies with that business logo or something like
that. And then I use Google Keep for that.
Okay.
Not to say that you can't. Not that there's anything wrong with that. We're all equal in the side of Android. I'm just saying.
And so does Google Keep have, does it have a task thing like that right from your phone? I don't even use Google Keep.
Oh, Google Keep is Evernote. So if you, anything you could do in Evernote, you can do Google Keep, but it is native to Android. You go to keep.google.com and you already have it set up. And anyway.
Yeah, I saved a photo on Google Keep today, actually, because there was a photo of my wife that I don't remember her ever looking like that. And I'm not saying if it's good or bad, but she just looked unlike my wife, but it was her shirt and her bracelet, and she was sitting next to my son, so it had to be her. And I just had to remember, I mean, rather than go through all my photos again, I just hit share, and I thought maybe, well, I'll just email it to myself, and I saw Keep. I'm like, oh, that's got to be the right place for this. So I hit Google Keep, and so now when I do log into Google Keep, that picture will be there for me, I hope.
So I have different categories. I have work and personal and podcasts, and then each of those I have tasks list or notes within that. Like, for example, I have the measurements of every room in this house before we moved in, and we were looking at, you know, where to put things. Because I'm a geek, I did scale drawings of everything and scale drawings of all our furniture so that we could rearrange everything on the software. So I measured all of our furniture and I measured all the rooms, and I did scale drawings on the software and put it on the kids' tablets where they could drag it around so that when we got here, we already knew everything where it was going to be. And when we were done, I hit print and we put that on the wall so that the guys who were helping us move knew that in this room, this piece of furniture goes on this wall.
Oh, man, Mark, that's great.
So anyway,
have you measured all your windows too for like curtain sizes and things?
I have not, but I probably will at some point. So anyway, that's in one thing. I have a general task list in there. I have a note called "People I Owe a Steak." These are the people who helped me move that day. So I don't even know how many. I have dozens of them. Yep. I used to use Evernote, but my current employer blocks Evernote because they block all tools that are useful. So they haven't figured out the usefulness of Google Keep yet, so I should probably not talk about it
anymore. I wanted to be on your "People I Owe a Steak" list until you told me what it took to qualify to get there. I'm like, no, it's probably not worth it.
You have to lift something heavy to get there.
Yeah, and speaking of that, Mark, about not saying things that you like, by any chance, did you like the television show Grimm?
Never heard of it. No.
Okay. Because it was canceled and my wife was upset. So I figured this is probably a show that Mark loves.
No, if not me, probably Seth. Because everything he likes goes away.
I tried.
Does he like presidential candidates? I wish he'd. That'd be great if he'd like all of them. Okay. Never mind.
Yeah. Is that your tank, Eric? Yeah,
my tank is empty. Thank you.
All right, Dor. Bring us, siphon off a little from your tank. I know we can't handle the depth of it fully. Give us three or four.
I know. I have too many. This app I have to bring. It's a game, but there's a little uniqueness tucked away, okay? This is called Team Thunder. This is not called Tropic Thunder. This is called Team Thunder by Kudu Q Entertainment. 2 reviews, E for everyone, 10 and up. It is $4. 3.5 average reviews, between 1 and 5 installs, current version 8.0. I really hope they bring the price down of this app sooner or later. Okay, here's the big kicker to it. You are a helicopter pilot where you can have Wi-Fi cooperative play. So literally, I can be flying the helicopter around and my son can be controlling the guns. That alone made me at least want to test this out. And I got to say, this is a helicopter simulator, period, with all the heads-up displays and pretty good controls in on it. And the gun tools that are available to you, you even have like night scope kind of technology where you can literally turn on low light, night vision kind of performance when you're playing at night kind of thing, shoot up the place. This game is a hell of a lot of fun, even if you just play it by yourself, one player. $4, I understand people knee-jerk reaction against, but I gotta tell you, if you like helicopter simulators at all, you gotta at least look at the video for this in the store. And unfortunately, there is a video for it in the store. But it was a hell of a lot of fun.
So when your son's playing on his phone and you're playing on yours, you get 2 different views then? Does he get like the turret view and you get the cockpit view?
Yeah, yeah. And he's like sitting across from me and he tells me, hold on a second, get away from this guy, kind of stuff. So he's like guiding me verbally to help make his gameplay better.
Hmm. That's neat. And that seemed to work pretty well?
I was shocked at how well it did work. Of course, we got killed a lot, and I just take that for as he's an 11-year-old kid, and I'm blaming him because he's not here to defend himself. But we did have a lot of fun.
And it does take $8 if you both want to do it, because you both got to have the app.
No, because I'm smart.
Are you on family?
I bought this on the family plan, so I bought it once, and he was able to download it and play it.
That only costs $8 for certain people who...
Yeah, only people who use Google's services.
I use Google services. I use Google's inbred service of the family plan. And I digress. Okay, next I'm going to bring a non-game app because I've had more than a couple people in the last couple weeks ask me about video editing on Android. And the nicest way I can put it, it's a very murky arena because a lot of people put out a lot of different apps. This app in particular caught my eye. It's called PowerDirector Video Editor App by Cyberlink.com. And I know, Mark or Eric, you've had to have heard of Cyberlink before, right? Oh, yeah,
it came free with a DVD burner or two.
Yes.
Yeah. These guys are big in the game, is what I'm going to say. Marked E for everyone, 166. 1,000 reviews, average 4.4 rating, 3.13.0 version, between 5 million and 10 million installs. This is a pretty advanced video editor for it being on an Android device, is what I want to say. This does not compete with a huge percentage of desktop video editing suites. But for mobile devices, I can tell you, if you're at all comfortable with video editing, you will be pleasantly shocked at how this works. very smooth, very easy to comprehend. Of course, everything has a learning curve, but this to me was not difficult to learn. And you did have a lot of really good options for you to put overlaying text, transitions to different videos, and all those kind of things. I was pleasantly shocked at how well this worked. And it's by Cyberlink, which has been around this business for a long while.
It reminds me of when I did video editing 10 years ago, probably the middle to upper end video editors back on the PC back then. So, and which would probably be about the right timing and processing power, I think, that would be in a phone now. So it makes perfect sense. Yeah, I mean, I used Adobe Premiere for a while. I don't know if this is going to have all that, but you don't need all that. And I never used nearly any all of that on a PC either.
Yeah. All right, Dorf, what's up next?
I thought this was cool. Next, I'm going to bring, it's specifically designed towards 3D printer folks. And Eric was talking about 3D printers before the show. Thing Maker Design by Mattel. Fourth, 3,000 reviews, 4.1 average review rating, between 100,000 and 500,000 installs. This app lets you, on your phone, custom design 3D models and then send them to your printer if you have a network-enabled 3D printer. That alone made me pretty dang impressed by this application. And I'm part of the group where I know sooner or later I have to buy a 3D printer. It's just a question of when. And this app was the kind of thing where I could literally give my son this app, and it has pre-designated parts if you want to, so you can snap together 3D figurines with moving parts in them. They just pick them, connect them, hit the button, and, you know, an hour later, or quicker or slower depending on your printer, and voila, they have their 3D printed dinosaur action figure or whatever.
This is great, Dora. This is great for kids, man. There's a guy down.
Kids.
Well, it's great for me. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you too. There's a guy down the road in Dixon, Illinois. He started printing out Pokemon, and he made it on TV everywhere now. He's printing out Pokemon and hiding them in parks. So when people are out playing Pokemon, they're actually finding 3D printed ones too. It's like a kind of like a geocaching along with the game. And, thought it was a cool idea. He did it for his own family at first, and then he started actually taking them out to parks, and he said he could print them out, and some of them as fast as an hour, and some of them as long as 14 hours to print one, and he's just going nuts. He started putting some in this town now, too.
Very cool, yeah.
And Brandon Kidder says, really fun. I love this game. If you're a hater, screw you haters. Hate. Yet no one will care. Just make your own game because you're too dumb to be a hater.
And JonahTube Gaming says, haters are haters. Haters are haters. If you hate this app, make your own. Oh, what's that? You're too dumb? Making apps? So stop hating. Wow.
I just wish I could misspell things in voice. That's because...
yeah, that's... you can. It's going to take some work, though.
Like the your is the wrong your every time he said it. It's great. All right. Dora, I think you have another app.
Yeah. This one I have to bring because it's a moral imperative. I must bring it. We've had a couple games in the past where basically you're a character in the middle of the screen and there are things attacking you from the left or right or whatever. And really all you ever do is just tap the screen. That's all you do is tap the screen. They're kind of fun. The animations can be kind of cool. The graphics can be kind of compelling. But this app takes the frigging cake if you were born in the 70s or grew up in the 80s kind of thing. And it's called He-Man Tappers of Grayskull. I implore you to watch the video in the store and listen to it because it's awesome.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. You're basically... He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. So you take control of multiple characters in the game. You have Skeletor sending all kinds of baddies at you, and they're gigantic. And you have to basically defend the castle, defend Grayskull altogether, and using He-Man, Man of War, and all the rest of them, whatever. And you have to basically find these mystic treasures before Skeletor can. And the cheesiness in the voiceovers alone make this worth the time in investment.
Is he?
And all you do is tap. The whole game is tapping.
All you do is tap.
It's the weakest looking He-Man I've ever seen.
Well, you know, this He-Man can't be too overmanly, or else the social justice warriors might get a little irate or offended. So, you know, they have to, tone him down just a little bit, just a touch.
And looking back at him, he's got a lot of muscles. It's just his face looks wrong. I don't know.
He's little. He's 3 inches tall.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But still, I would say a lot of fun. Completely free to install. Does have some kind of in-app purchases. Again, it's He-Man Tappers of Grayskull by Animoca Brands, possibly. Through 362 reviews, 4.8 average rating. Current version 1.0.2, between 100 and 500 installs. Again, I'm sorry, but I beat everybody else in the bunch.
All right, one last door.
Okay, this one was actually brought by someone in our Google Plus Android App Hacks group, and I cannot remember who it was, but this is almost missed. You got to listen to the whole thing, and you've got to at least watch the video a little bit. This is a game called Not Golf by Rowan Casey, 2,500 reviews, E for everyone, completely free to download, some kind of in-app purchase. 4.8 average reviews, current version 1.0.1, between 50,000 and 100,000 downloads. Okay, this is not golf, but it's definitely golf-like. Okay, here's the biggest difference in this game. You can hit the ball at any time, so the ball can be in mid-flight, and if you're quick enough, you can still hit it again, so you don't have to wait for it to come to a complete stop. That is a huge mechanic in this game. It's a 2D environment that you're in, with definitely hills and valleys and kind of thing, and your target is basically like a lollipop. And if you hit the pole, the stick of the lollipop, it doesn't count. You have to hit the lollipop itself. So you can't just get it around it and hope it rolls by it, because it won't count. This is not easy. It is fun. It is challenging. It is honestly kind of cool, but it is not easy at all.
It's Angry Birds.
It's Angry Birds, but it's definitely almost time-based, where Angry Birds, you just pull, drag, flick, wait. And then you can once in a while tap to explode or whatever. This was definitely more dynamic than Angry Birds, in the sense of this ball can be in mid-flight and you can then click and drag and immediately hit it again, which opened up the possibilities of how quickly you can finish a level. Because in this video, this guy's hitting perfect ones the whole time. You ain't going to be hitting the goal in one shot every time. Let me just tell you that right now.
It's hole in one if it was golf, but it's not.
Well, no. You can take 20 shots if you want, if you have to. And with the stages that increase in difficulty, because if you take a look at the screenshots, oh yeah, they increase in difficulty quite a lot. There's no way you can hit a hole in one in some of these. I feel it's literally a one in a million shot. Graphics very plain, very vector like. Very cell shaded ish, flat backgrounds, very little going on in the foreground, but definitely very physically dynamic game.
Yeah, it's good.
You know, I rarely ever download apps when we're doing the show. Truly, I don't. I've downloaded 4 tonight, so this is a winner show in my estimation. You got me to download 4 apps.
Oh, hey, and I tried to go through the Google Plus store to give credit where credit was due on this one. I couldn't find it for some reason, but I saw it earlier today.
So. Okay, maybe it wasn't Google Plus. Maybe it was just regular Google.
Yeah, that could be.
And if it was regular Google, it was probably Bill who might have done it, maybe, possibly.
But I did forget to give credit where credit's due for one of the apps I brought earlier. It was the Google higher, lower, what was it called? Yeah, the higher, lower game. I need to give a shout out to... Beware Clutches on the Xbox Live. That's who suggested that app. I said I told him I would. I told him I'd give props for giving me a good app.
Who the hell is that? What is that?
That's the guy's gamer tag. It's called Beware Clutches. And he's the one who gave me the idea for that, or told me about that app.
Well, hopefully he wasn't the guy cussing up a storm in the video.
No, I don't think so.
So before we go, I want to bring an app, and I'm saving it to the end.
Ooh.
Because if it has the same effect on you, it would have totally ruined the show from the beginning. On my show, Geek Rant, elementop.com, every week, Seth brings his killer app. The idea is to lower the productivity of the listening audience so that he seems like a better hiring option. And he completely broke me with a little app called Little Alchemy. And it's available on the web and on Android. So Little Alchemy, you start with air, earth, fire, and water, and you start mixing them. Sounds super simple. It is super simple. But there's currently 560 different things that you can mix and match. And see, I'll have to pull it up here and see where I am. I'm somewhere in the 200 category, I think. Let's see. 169 is what I'm up to. And just today, I think I won the game because I created bacon. So I think that makes me the winner.
So.
Okay. I don't care. Let the cat out of the bag. Do you remember what you mixed to create bacon?
That was my question.
Well, it's a lot of different things, but in the end, it was pig plus fire equals bacon.
Huh.
But you gotta go a ways to get to the pig and the fire. Actually, fire is one of the elements you start with, but the pig takes some doing. So I have created the internet. I've created blenders. I've created a banana, a knight in armor, acid rain, a computer, fire extinguisher, flashlight, fiber optic cable. These are all things that by mixing and matching air, earth, fire, and water, I've been able to create playing this game.
Wow.
It's for me, it's the perfect standing in line waiting for a meeting game, because you can start and stop at any time. It requires almost no skill, and you're just constantly experimenting with different combination of things. I have a narwhal. I have an omelet, and just all that started originally with air, earth, fire, and water. And like I said, there's 560 things possible. I've got 169, so I'm not even a third of the way there.
Little Alchemy. Okay, Mark, I have installed this one. This is cool.
Yeah, I'll say, I'm not going to disagree with you. I don't think skill is required, but I do think a certain level of imagination might be, because you got to think of different things to add together. There's been a lot of these clones on the market for years, I will say that. This seems to be one of the most cleanest interfaces on how to do it. But here's the question. Is there anything besides just dragging things in and dropping them? Is there any So there's no, you add it and then you add something else, or you add time. Well, no, time is an ingredient, is it?
Yeah, it is. Okay. It's you have to make time.
I just saw that. You have to make time. Okay, mind blown.
Okay, were you thinking bacon when you added pig to fire? Were you pretty sure that was going to happen or make?
I was actually thinking barbecue.
Okay.
But yeah.
Well, either way, I cannot wait for, and I please beg of you, you haven't told Seth yet you found bacon, right?
I did. I sent him a screenshot of it.
Oh, no, I wanted to hear you tell him live on the show. I wanted to hear his reaction.
Well, the response he got was, you've spent way too much time playing this. And then about 20 minutes later, now you've got me doing it again. So it's a really addictive game. At least for me, it was.
Okay, well, your goal was met because I just installed this on my device.
Wow.
And I will say, the Not Golf game was brought by Tom Zach, a super long-term supporter of this show. And with that said, let's take a break to mention our sponsor, like every other podcast does every 15 minutes, except for us, it took an hour and 30 minutes. This show is brought to you by our Patreon subscribers. Instead of just going to Patreon and then going to ads, then going back to Patreon, then going to more ads, then going back to Patreon, then going to more ads, we just mentioned our Patreon people. And if you would like to be one of the people that support this show, just go to patreon.com/androidappaddicts, and you yourself can become part of the foundation for this show that holds this show up, keeps it afloat, and keeps it moving forward. And I am on the verge of creating special content for Patreon people only. And what I'm thinking it's going to be is the old classic games, or games that are really impactful, and basically me just taking a screencast of them and recording them and then putting up to YouTube, where only people on Patreon can see. So if you would like to see those kind of things, you have to let us know. I'm literally tempted now to go in and make a Patreon goal for that. Yeah.
Ooh, that'd be worth buying a good Android console, like a Steam box, well, not Steam box, but that other thing, that NVIDIA box.
I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention. I was mixing
elements. No, I was thinking, I was thinking out loud for myself. You're out.
So now you can come up with
the NVIDIA Shield and a screen capture device.
But now you got to remember, everything you make is now an ingredient to something else. So now you can take bacon and make other things with it.
Mm-hmm. Like the bacon three-way sandwich at Hardee's, where it's got bacon jelly, bacon, and what's the other kind of bacon?
I don't know.
But I heard bacon jelly, and I'm like, no, I'm never going to eat that sandwich.
Oh, it's delicious.
Is it? Have you had it?
I will say, but in what universe is bacon not the end product? You know what I mean? I'm just saying.
Yeah, I mean, it should be that you have won the game. You've created bacon. Mm-hmm. All right. Anyway, we got to get out of this because we'll all be sitting here mixing elements. That's what happened on my show.
It probably is the end of the game, but you just took a shortcut and got to it. Skip the other 380 combos.
Maybe once you make pizza, it's over. I don't know. All right. Thanks for hanging out with us. And as Dor said, the easiest and best way to support money-wise is going to be Patreon, but also you can do it Amazon. Like I said earlier, podnuts.com/Amazon. Doesn't change your experience in it at all. It just kicks back some money to Dor. So do that, please. And thanks for listening. As always, the best thing you can do to support a show is tell other people about it. Rate it and review it on whatever app store you use, and then go do it on iTunes too. I know this is not the audience to suggest iTunes to, but whether you like it or not, it still is the default list of podcasts in the world, and ratings and reviews are helpful there. So tell everybody about it. Go download it on 15 of your closest friends' phones, and then hopefully they'll like at least some of it. Thanks for hanging out with you, and always, I've been saying it for a year now, thanks for letting me hang out with you. I was a fan of the show, and then I became part of the show, and I love being able to do that. So look forward to seeing you next week, but that's it for this episode of the Android App.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.